All right, we're here with Illinois Comptroller Susana Mendoza in the Illinois House of Representatives. Governor Pritzker gave his budget address today. What'd you think?
I'm glad that the governor presented a balanced budget. Now, for the eighth time in a row, something I don't take lightly because I remember the days when we had no budget. That's when I first became your comptroller, walked into what ultimately was a $16.7 billion backlog of unpaid bills because we went 736 days without a budget proposal or a budget. It also led to 210 business day delay in paying our bills and over $1 billion in late payment interest penalties because we did not pay our bills on time. That's what happens when you don't have a budget. So having now an eighth budget in a row presented that is balanced and hopefully by May 31st, an actual budget for the governor to sign is something we should never take for granted.
What do you think about the budget?
I think it was good that the governor presented a defensive budget, which clearly talks about the fiscal uncertainty of the times that we're living in right now at the federal funding level. Right now, the president has articulated that states like Illinois, principally only blue states, by the way, stand to lose billions in federal funding. This is federal funding that Congress, in a bipartisan fashion, has already approved and passed for states like Illinois and every other state in America to be able to take care of their citizens and their residents. It really should not be a partisan issue to bring federal dollars home, especially when Illinois historically has been a donor state. It's taxpayer money from Illinois that has helped propel the economies of red states across America. So we need to do everything we can to leverage every one of those federal dollars, and it is wrong to strip them from families across our state. Remember, those are Democratic and Republican families, and they will equally be hurt if this money that has already been appropriated by Congress continues to be pulled by the federal government.
You're very big on fiscal responsibility. Why is it so much more important even this year?
It's important more than ever because of the federal uncertainty in state funding. Whenever you have instability and unpredictability, those are two really bad terms when it comes to managing finance as well. Being able to provide those things are critically important for any functioning government. So right now, it's more critical than ever to increase our rainy day fund to better protect us from a crisis through no fault of our own, kind of what we're living through right now at the federal level. It's also critically important to rein in spending because in times of crisis, you need to bunker down. You need to make sure that we are providing for the absolute needs, not necessarily the unlimited wants that exist in any government. And so those are things that I'm going to continue to espouse, make sure that we protect our rainy day fund, continue to build it, also to pay down our pension obligations, which are a huge part of our budget, as quickly as possible to stabilize that, but also to play defense on this budget so that, God forbid, these cuts go through at the federal level, our state does not collapse from a financial perspective, and our safety net providers, our hospitals, those that care for our most vulnerable, continue to be prioritized by my office. I commit to continue to do that. Let's just, as I said, hope for the best when it comes to revenues coming in strong this year this next coming year, we expect to get over $800 million in new revenue compared to last year. This is really good news, but it's also really important to remember that as controller, I pay the bills with real cash, not with proposed expected revenues. If they don't materialize, I'm still planning to make sure that we can deliver on the services that we need to deliver on with the limited resources that might come our way.
So when people hear about these federal cuts, which seems to change daily, whether we're being cut or not, what does that really mean for people?
It means that people across this entire state are going to be hurt. That's what federal cuts mean. Not having potentially $8 billion plus come in from the federal government that's been approved by Congress is just a slap in the face to Illinois taxpayers. Considering that our taxpayers send more money to other red states to propel up their economies at the expense of our very own, this is something that the public should know. Because when the Trump administration proposes taking billions of dollars from Illinois, certainly in the spaces of healthcare or SNAP benefits, food banks, those cuts are going to hurt everyone in Illinois, not just the big cities that he likes to pile on, like Chicago, but rural parts of Illinois that are very important to me. You know, I represent all 102 counties in the state of Illinois. I represent, as your controller, every single safety net hospital across our state. I want to make sure that whether you are the reddest Republican or the bluest Democrat, if you live and breathe in Illinois, that you are covered in our budget, that you have access to affordable health care, that if you need your safety net hospital, it will actually be there. And I'll tell you what, people love to play politics with this, but good finances should be as nonpartisan as they come. Because if you have a child with cancer who needs brain surgery, you better hope that that cut didn't happen in your state, because cancer doesn't differentiate between a Democratic sick child or a Republican one. It doesn't care. It just wants to kill people in our state. And without these critical funds to deal with healthcare for our folks, they're going to be left without. So this isn't politics. Literally, people's lives are on the line. And the budget that's going to be passed here by May 31st will hopefully reflect people as a priority. But we also need the federal government to reflect that same love and compassion and empathy for sick people across Illinois, regardless of their party.
The governor spoke about nuclear energy today. What do you think about that?
Super excited about that, because nuclear energy is like our superpower here in the state of Illinois. Compared to other states across America, Illinois has a massive competitive advantage when it comes to leveraging nuclear. Cleanest, safest, most affordable type of energy, and we already have an infrastructure here in place. So not fully leaning into that type of innovation would theoretically put us, not theoretically, but realistically put us at a massive disadvantage. So I'm very, very happy that we will lean into our competitive advantage in nuclear energy to be able to bring down energy costs across our state.
You heard the word build a lot today. That's one of your favorite words, I think.
Yes, I'm from Chicago. We're a city of builders. And I could say that should be the mantra across the entire state of Illinois. Whether you're in a rural community who lost tons of jobs in the manufacturing space, you should want to build, build, build. Or you're in Chicago, the city of skyscrapers and big shoulders, we should want to build, build, build. It breaks my heart as a Chicagoan to only see 5 cranes up in the sky right now, when in 2019, our city was only second to Seattle with the number of cranes flying high. So I joke around that the crane is Chicago's most endangered bird, but I mean the metal ones that help create businesses and help create growth in our economy, create the jobs that power that economy. And so I would love to see a statewide proposal, as the governor put forth today, to streamline building permits, to make it easier for companies to come and relocate their headquarters here, but also for our current stock of businesses who have chosen Chicago, who have chosen Illinois, who have chosen other suburbs to build their businesses and grow them, for us to make it as easy as possible for them to do that. So super excited about that proposal, but more importantly, we have to get back to our roots and our DNA as a state, and certainly my hometown as a city, that we're a city of builders, we're a state of builders, and we need to continue to grow, grow, grow. And when we talk about building and growing, we're talking about both from a commercial perspective, business growth, but also housing stock. People want to live in affordable communities, and the only way that's going to happen is if we grow our base of housing stock available, multi-different types of purpose housing stock, whether it's affordable or all kinds of types. But the point is, we need more business growth, we need more housing growth, and we need to drive economic growth in our state.
The proposal we heard today will not be the final product that we see at the end of May. This is not your first rodeo. What's your advice to all the budget negotiators going through this?
As a former legislator myself, I would just say it's to be honest as to what the actual necessities are in this budget cycle, given the realities that we're living with federal funding instability. So we, of course, all want to be able to do as much as possible for our individual districts, but this is a year of a defensive posture that is one of just being fiscally disciplined and making sure that the folks that have to have the bare minimum to get by through this instability and predictability, that we're driving that as a real proposal for them through this budget. Most importantly, let's end May 31st at midnight, or May 32nd, as it's known here in Springfield, with a budget that is balanced, that the governor will be able to sign.